So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the news.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Like I sound a little low tonight.
Well, maybe your voice is down and out. Maybe you're getting older and your voice is breaking up, you're cracking or whatever this is. You think?
It's possible.
Okay.
It's entirely possible.
Well, don't try to sing tenor then at any point during this show.
Okay, I'll work on that.
All right, very good.
We got, of course, NWO member Scott Norton. He's going to be on the program tonight joining us, and he's got a new federation out. It's called Wild West Championship Wrestling.
Yeah, he was just getting cranked up last time he was on with us.
Yeah, he's going to be talking to us all about that one. I think it's going to be a good one. They did a show just a couple of months ago. He's going to tell us how that went, and he's got another one coming up, of course, in a little bit. In the meantime, he's been in Japan quite a bit doing wrestling out there. He's one of the most famous Americans. They call him Gaijins, which means foreigner, of course, in Japanese.
You know that too. You're just.
I do. I'm learning all this new stuff, Les.
You're the man.
Exactly. But let's go ahead and get right into the news.
Okay. Well, first of all, Don Jardine passed away a few days ago.
Yes, did hear about this.
Beg pardon?
I did hear about this.
Yeah, the spoiler, the Super Destroyer, whatever name you want to call him. Don was 66. Leukemia was the major thing, I guess. I first met Don. He was just a preliminary guy, young guy out of Canada. That would have been in around this area here. We were both working for the Indianapolis office around 1962.
Yeah, he is. He's from Indiana. Am I correct?
No. He's Canadian.
No, I mean he lives in Indiana though.
No, I don't. Now, I think they were back up in Canada.
Oh, okay.
I think so. I think it was his third wife was with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
Wow.
I believe. Now, I could be wrong. He got the mask. He was a big guy, very mobile, very agile for a guy his size. When I say a big guy, 6'4", 275, 280, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And so anyway, that's, the mask gimmick in Canada. You got me. Anyway, Texas, for Fritz Von Erich, Gary Hart, I think, helped shape him as a performer with the mask. And then he was very, very, well, if you remember when Joe Hamilton, the assassin, was on, they were talking about how they would not. In fact, he still has an unmasked, actually. But Jardine was the same way. Don was very protective of his gimmick. I never had, he never worked for me as in a promoter's capacity or anything like that. I have heard that, he was rather difficult to deal with.
Right.
Due to the gimmick so much, but I totally understand that. He didn't want the mask to come off, didn't want the identity given up. And anyway...
He has a daughter that wrestles, correct?
No.
No?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Not that I'm aware of, anyway. Now, I could be wrong. I don't think so.
Okay.
Say he had a strong run in Texas. He worked the Atlanta territory, the Carolinas, for a couple years. And just different parts of the country. In fact, the Undertaker walking the rope is a Don Jardine deal. That's where that came from. Jardine did it first.
Was he as big as The Undertaker?
No, not as tall. Probably, Taker probably has 3 or 4 inches on him in terms of height. But again, you got to realize, Frank, turn the clock back to, the 60s and the 70s. 6'4", 6'5", was big then.
Right.
I mean, Don Leo Jonathan at 6'8", or 6'9", was considered a huge guy back at that point in time.
Yeah, I really didn't get into the monsters until early 80s.
Yeah.
Late 70s.
Yeah, but I mean, they were big guys, but again, like I say, they were huge, for our era.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so, yeah, but Jardine walked the top rope. That's where Undertaker picked it up.
That's pretty innovative, though, when you think about it.
Yeah, and listen, I'm not any place in the ballpark of 6'4", or 6'9", and I can't walk that top rope.
It takes quite a bit of skill, I would imagine.
Yeah. So anyway, Don passed away. He was 66.
And, yes.
Another one of my peers, man, it's like they seem to be losing one of those guys every couple of weeks.
Yeah. That's got to be, that's got to affect you.
Yeah. Yeah. You especially when you work with somebody and watch them evolve, in terms of their career and so forth. So, and it's a tough time for his family, obviously, this close to the holidays.
Right.
That's a tough thing.
I do want to, of course, throw out condolences to the families and friends, Don Jardine.
Exactly.
Next up, I guess the big story this week is WWE's Joey Mercury at Armageddon. Horrible accident. Did you happen to catch any of this?
Yeah. And everyone's saying what, like, that particular match, match of the year was great. But, on and on. And I won't dispute any of that. The exception of Bret Hart, I think, made the statement in public one time, no matter what, how many stars you award a match or how the people react to it, if we get to the back and one of us is hurt, it wasn't a good match. And, that I think, here's the thing. There's a teeter-totter spot or whatever you want to call it where the ladder was, and he's ended up with, 4 or 5 stitches internally, 14 or 15 on the outside.
Yeah.
Internal bleeding, the nose will have to be restructured. He's going to be out for a couple months.
Right.
And you realize how worse it could have been.
Yes.
I mean, it could have basically, the way that thing, the way it happened, it could have ripped his nose off his face. I mean, there's a chance that there may have to be some plastic surgery, as it is, I'm told. But, I mean, it could have been, a horrible disaster, and plus I want to understand both Hardys are limping. Brian Kendrick has got bad ribs. The two sane people in the match were Taylor and Regal.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't work the and when I say that, realize I'm looking at this not from a fan's aspect or standpoint, but from a performer's, right? You've heard me say this before. I when it comes down to the Lions and the Christians, I'm not interested in turning you into one of the Roman fans.
Right.
And there's nobody in that match that's even, and when I say this, I think at a certain point where our business is dangerous enough, on a standard issue basis. We've talked about this before. I think that these things just take it to a point where it's not necessary. And if you're not interested in watching without one of us getting destroyed, then I got two words for you.
Right.
I really don't care what you think.
Right.
I mean, seriously.
They're not the ones that are going to be paying, the retirement money for the wrestlers and their medical bills,
Well, that's it. You're not going to be pushing my wheelchair around.
Right.
And I can say, well, Doc stood and cheered and said I had a 4-star match. I can't walk. But Doc said, I don't care what Doc said. I really don't.
Right.
Or Joe or Bill or Sally or anybody else.
And God forbid, that could have been a lot worse, too.
Well, sure. That's what I'm saying. He could have, it could have been a lot worse on him or anybody else. It's, it's just it's bad.
Here's
it's
my thought on the whole thing.
But when I first started seeing the TLC matches with the Dudleys and the Hardys and And I mean, realize when Jeff was doing those goofy splashes on Dudley, you know, off a 10-foot or 12-foot ladder or whatever.
Right.
You know, what, do you realize just a matter of an inch one way or the other, he could have been paralyzed.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know.
There have been people paralyzed from top rope jumps.
Right. And the other thing I say, these guys, none of the guys in that match were in the top echelon of the wage earners.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I say this, some of the guys make, these guys aren't making what some of those guys pay in taxes a year.
Right.
You know, so, no, I it was spectacular, but if it had never happened, I'd have felt, you know, I just, as a performer, I feel bad for Joe. You know, plus he's just coming off the rehab thing, you know, and he's laid up, he's out again. So, you know, the guys on that show, Benoit, Guerrero, Taylor, Regal, Finley, those are the performers,
mm-hmm.
you know, and all that's not necessary.
They're asking a question in the chat room. Baghead says, do you feel the ladder match was pointless, considering it wasn't even advertised?
Yeah, I in that respect, sure. Hey, we're good. This is our big holiday treat for you people. Instead of two teams, there's going to be four. And yeah, honestly, yeah. But see, that's the other thing, too. I forget who it was that was doing the booking years ago. We talked about, can you top this to a certain point until you can't?
Right.
You know, where do you go from there?
Down.
And that's, I think, the problem. You know, no, I yeah. You know, it's, there's some good, solid technical wrestling. It sells if you know how to do it, so learn.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple. It's really that simple. On that particular, now, Yang and Helms had a heck of a match. And the fan, but it was, nobody killed themselves. Oh, well, I don't want to watch that. They both left the ring healthy. Well, that's upsetting. I paid $40 for that.
Right.
Kiss my butt. How's that? That's my answer to anybody that takes that stance. Kiss my tail. Only it's not quite that softly said.
This could be either a blessing in disguise for Mercury, or it could be a curse. Because,
well, I don't know a blessing in disguise. I don't see any. I don't see how that's a possibility in any way, shape, or form. Now, to the other end of the spectrum, when we turn 180 degrees, and the Miz and the Boogeyman.
Oh, God.
Ah, please. That was horrible. I mean, it's disgust. I mean, when I say that, I don't know either one of these guys. You couldn't roll the two of them together and make one Steven Regal.
Right.
I mean, you couldn't roll 10 of those two guys together and make one Steven Regal. They have no business on the show.
Right.
They honestly do not. I thought Undertaker carried Kennedy well, got him over strong, and won like I said he should.
Yes.
Yes. But, but I say, Miz and why. And then, of course, the ever-popular beauty contest, you know, with the fat guy stripping down and saying, okay, give me my money back. I'm sorry. That stuff's just so, you pick a word, corny, sophomoric,
stupid
vaudevillian, low class. I don't know what. I mean, you know, it's just, I don't need it.
Right.
I don't see any value. It's like, okay, we're going to show you all these hot chicks, and they don't have anything to do. None of them can work. But we'll make up something, and then we'll have a fat guy strip down and dance. Okay.
What I meant about Joey Mercury and this being probably a blessing in disguise is the fact that they still had him in OVW, and they were not looking too much to actually keep him and Nitro as a team. They felt that Nitro was the breakout star, and Joey was just kind of there, you know.
Well,
and
Joey was the anchor in terms of the in-ring work.
Yeah.
I mean, he was.
Yeah.
Shall be, whatever the case.
But apparently, you know, WWE felt that he didn't have the charisma.
Sadly enough, they're not looking for the next Chris Benoit. They're not looking for the next Dean Malenko. They're not looking for the next wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for the over the, we've, you know, again, the over the top character who has no talent and can read a script and go out and act like a fool.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a professional wrestler? Not necessarily. Not in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
You know, but that's where the business is going.
But this sort of thing could actually help his career credibility.
Okay. I see. Well, you know, with the idiots, yes.
I mean, look at Mick Foley with the Hell in the Cell, you know.
Okay, but it's, you know, it's a shame that anybody has to risk, you know, put their life and their career at risk.
It really is a shame. It really is, but, you know.
But shut up, Les, and this is the way it's going to be.
No.
Thumbs up, thumbs down. This is the Roman Coliseum. It's the Lions and the Christians.
If you do happen to get hurt. If you do happen to get hurt.
It immortalizes.
Yes, and it's always good to have a camera around. If it's going to happen anyway.
But see, that's the whole thing. Why would it, you know, if. Let's see. Let me think. Over 20 years and several thousand matches, how many ladder spots I did?
None.
Okay. Well, geez, you know. And I made a living.
Right.
Well, that's horrible.
No, I'm not saying that's horrible at all.
Well, no, but I'm just, you know, what I'm saying is that's the whole thing. It shouldn't have to happen. You know, he's a solid performer for the team. He really is. I did not see the three-hour... and God, you know, and I was so upset by that because Federline was supposed to be on it, and I'm just so giddy about seeing Kevin Federline against John Cena. I didn't watch the three-hour Raw, honestly. I watched the Indianapolis Colts put their foot up the rear end of the Cincinnati Bengals, which I could have probably skipped to, but I thought it would be a much better football game than it was.
Yeah.
but anyway, I wasn't giddy with the excitement because Stallone was going to do an interview, and I have nothing against Stallone, or that Kevin Federline might be on, and Johnny Nitro's training him, and he's going to wrestle John Cena. All right. God, that's great.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. I'm getting faint with giddiness here.
And they made a big deal out of what he was going to talk about last night. And he came out and he said nothing new.
Okay.
You know, he's going to address the nation. And he came out and he said the same old garbage he always says.
Well, you know, they're not wrestlers. They're not performers.
Yeah, that's true.
And I had this conversation a week or so ago with an independent, one of the owners of an independent company. And I kind of got loud with the guy because... He basically saying, well, yeah, our product is not what it could be, but since the bar is so low, who cares?
Right.
And I thought, boy, there's a great stance, you know?
Especially from the man who lowered it.
Well, you know, a bunch of people have lowered it, and that's sad, too. You know, I say to kids that I train, you know, it's okay, I don't want you, don't be good for me, don't be good for God or Vince, be good for yourself. I mean, take pride in what you do.
Right.
And so many guys don't, you know. But see, then that's the other thing, too. You can be a 130-pound goofball, never seen a weight room, wear goofy clothes, and do a teeter-totter ladder spot, and somebody will book you.
Yeah.
And grab a wrist. What's a wrist lock? I don't know how to grab a wrist lock. Oh, okay. Well, that's okay. Cool. You got great music, though, and you can do a teeter-totter ladder spot.
Right.
See, that's... I'm sorry, you know. And again, whatever... Well, I'm not sorry. You know, no more than I'm sure Joe Theismann is apologizing for being a picture book quarterback,
right.
Textbook quarterback. And if he is, then whatever, he should be drug tested. You know?
I think the whole problem stems from WWE being public.
Well, it stems from when I say it, I talked about talking to an independent owner about lowering the bar. The entire world, entire industry has lowered the bar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they really have.
Right.
You know?
But when you're a public company, you only have one, you know, you have one rule, and that's to make as much of a profit as you can.
Yes. I never knew that wasn't the idea all along.
When I broke into
business in 1960, and no one said, well, gee, we don't care about making money, we just care about quality. The two went hand in hand as far as I could see. And they still would if, you know, I don't mean this to be insulting to anybody that listens to our show or watches or, you know, goes to all the websites, but what a wrestling fan today isn't what a wrestling fan was. Again, they're easily pleased or since it's the only game in town, we're gonna tolerate it anyway.
Right.
which is the same thing in this country with gas prices or anything else, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll bellyache about it at home, but I'm not going to do anything about it. Okay. Then guess what? It ain't going to change.
Right.
You know, so we'll elevate, again, we'll get some idiot with baggy shorts and 130 pounds and does it to your title ladder spot, and we'll elevate him and call him the god of professional wrestling. Or you will. and the my generation and the generation after me, for the most part, will crap on it.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, that's, and, but, again, that is the perspective from the inside looking out opposed to the outside looking in.
In case anybody didn't know, the Vladimir Kozlov character that debuted last night was Oleg Prudius.
Uh-huh.
Now, he's the huge the Russian dude that's been training.
And Battle Royale is where you hide those people that can't walk and chew gum at the same time.
No, actually, he wasn't in the Battle Royale. He did interview.
And that's where you hide those people, though, in a Battle Royale.
Well, yeah. But I don't think they were, you know, really expecting the crowd to boo him. They're trying to make him out to be this nice guy. He's visiting, you know, United States. He's got background in MMA, and the crowd was just, oh, my God. They did not like it.
Well, you know, this is the guy that Jerry Jarrett took to Stanford. How many months ago was that? It has not even been a year.
No.
At that point, now stop and think about it. This guy had never wrestled professionally. I will take a stance right now. Nigel McGuinness, who I started in this business almost seven years ago,
mm-hmm.
right,
mm-hmm.
is just now being looked, and last year or so being looked at, because he is a top flight performer as a wrestler, right?
Right.
Guess what? Vladimir, or whatever you want to call him, hasn't even been in the business a year.
Right.
So I don't have to see him even get in the ring. I can tell you, without he can't work. He can't,
right.
You know,
there's
he's not ready.
Thing. He's been down in Deep South Wrestling all this time, but I have never seen him on TV.
Well, he's never been on TV that I'm aware of. He was down in Deep South. They've had him on some house shows, which is,
I mean, somebody
in that company says, well, now he knows how to wrestle. You know, or whatever.
Right.
I don't even go into that. I mean, but the point is, the guy's not ready.
Right.
He's not. You know, doesn't have the seasoning. He's not ready. He's not ready to wrestle for the HWA that we had in the year 2000, 2001.
Yeah.
He would not have opened my show. And so, which means he wasn't in any place near being ready to be up at that lofty level.
Mm-hmm.
And still isn't. But then you may have noticed that Kali is there.
Yeah.
And the Miz. We just mentioned the Miz and
right.
the Boogeyman, who have no business being there either.
At least Kali's not in the ring.
Or MVP. Kennedy is sketchy as whether he belongs there. You know, and when I, again, this is not a personal assault on any of these people. I'm sure they all love their mother and go to church on Sunday and all that good stuff. But, you know, it's like, if you're trying to make me into a brain surgeon, you're crazy. I'm not, you know, nor will I ever be.
Right. To paraphrase what you said, it's like going to junior college to be a brain surgeon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the thing, too, that, you know, the Russian guys out there. We talked about it last week, that they're saying, well, we're not keeping anybody over a year if they're not ready to come up. Or,
right.
Or we're going to, you know, start hiring people with no wrestling experience at all and then move them up in a year. Oh, okay. Well, guess what? Then there'll be some, you know. But again, we'll market them. See, and that's part of it, too. Let's stop and think about the American public in perspective, as looking at it from a retail standpoint. Everyone, I think, will tell you that service and quality of product are down, and there are more companies selling manufacturing everything in terms of retail today than there were 20 years ago.
Right.
Right? So you would think if you and I and 10 other people are competing in the same market with virtually the same product, that probably quality of assembly, production, whatever you want to call it, And service would be the only thing that's differentiated. I can't talk. Differentiate your product from mine.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, service and quality aren't there either, right?
Yeah.
But hey, it's cool. This is America. It's all right. Just charge us more for a piece of crap. Okay. I love it. Well, you know, the wrestling industry has joined that particular analogy, you know, mm-hmm. or philosophy.
Yeah.
And it has. I'm sorry. it has. I had a friend of mine who I've known, gosh, I don't know, years. Yesterday called me and I said something about watching the game, you know, the Bengals and the Colts. And he said, I don't watch you. And this is a big sports fan. He's mad about it. He don't watch the NFL because he is mad about the parity.
Right.
That the standards across the board are down, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and he's not necessarily a wrestling fan. I mean, he knows that's my business, and he's a little aware of it, but it's not like that's why we're friends, you know, or why we're even associated. So, but I'm just saying, you know, it's across the board with the general public, you know. Mm-hmm. It's, I gassed up my wife and my car up yesterday, and I never saw where the barrel of oil went up, but our price on the pumps went up 10 cents here today.
Yeah. Christmas.
Well, of course. Bend over. America, here we come. We're driving it home.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. But I'm not going to stop driving, or I'm not going to stop buying your gasoline. I'm just going to bitch about it and move on. You know, so I mean, that's why, you know, the world's in the way in the situation it's in, and that's just pretty much a general commentary across the board, I'd say.
I have to totally agree with that.
You know,
here's one show that won't be affected by what happens on Raw that week. Wrestling Society X. Finally, MTV announced Wrestling Society X is going to debut next month.
Yeah.
And since the whole season's already been filmed.
Comes on at 10:30 on Tuesday nights, right?
I believe so.
I mean, that's now, that when I say that, that's you know, there's been, I've seen...
that's tentative.
Well, that's second half of ECW. But having been a part of a special on MTV, I realize how many times that show's going to be run in the course of a week.
It's possible. I mean, they seem to run everything else over and over.
Yeah, well, it's like Road Rules or, you know,
all right,
those particular reality shows, yeah.
And on Sundays, they have marathons of their shows, you know.
So. Well, see, and here's when the network has part of it, it dilutes. Well, in a half hour, you know, I've talked about this with some of the people involved in that production. You can't give a high-quality match you've got 22 or 23 minutes total in a half hour to get your product in, plus a band and whatever else.
Right.
So you're not going to, you know, but then I was reading somebody's review, I don't remember whose it was, and saying, you know, and since MTV has money invested, they have input, and their perception now, I can't bludgeon you with a chair. But they thought it was cool if somebody falls in wet cement or something, which I guess does happen too. So here we go, you know, it's Law and Hardy, it's pratfalls, it's Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
But am I mad at somebody at MTV for having this perception of my business? No, because that's what they saw.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, okay, well, there's this fat guy in a G-string, oiled up and dancing. Oh, well, then we need a fat guy in a G-string oiled up and dancing because that's what professional wrestling is.
Right.
Instead of trying to do a higher caliber, they just keep lowering the bar. Because your fat guy is not as good a dancer as my fat guy. And since my fat guy was horrible, but he was first, so he got more recognition than your fat guy, who wasn't first and is probably as equally as horrible. Right?
And they market to the lowest common denominator.
Sure, and which is sad, I think.
Yeah.
You know, and then they'll get mad. Somebody says, well, you know, professional wrestling is to the idiots. Well, yeah, well.
Now you know why they say that.
Yes, I know. You know, it's not something I argue about.
Right.
You know, there's times I've got wrestling on my, you know, this on the, and I'm thinking, God, I'm glad there's nobody here watching this with me, or that I have to try to explain this to somebody.
Right.
You know, well, and then, you know, and then we have Mr. McMahon's ass, the cartoon. I guess they're going to start making their website more entertaining, supposedly.
Yeah.
If that's entertainment, then OK. Well, it depends. You know, what you like, I guess.
It's got a snappy theme song, though, the Vince McMahon cartoon.
You know what? I couldn't tell you if it does or not. I'll be very honest with you. I have never watched it. I don't intend to.
I saw the first one, the Thanksgiving one.
Yeah.
And that was about all I needed to see. But, I mean, they only came out with the second one just last Thursday, so.
Oh, okay.
We were talking.
Are we going to have a Doc's Ass cartoon on our website?
We could have something similar, yes.
Well, then please change, because Les Thatcher is no longer affiliated with this product. Thank you very much, especially at these prices.
Right. We were speaking last week about Amy, who was Jimmy Wang Yang's manager, and how
she's no longer. Well, but there's a good point too. I couldn't remember her name, and she's gone.
Right. So it's like, well, yeah, they released her last Wednesday. Amy Zidian, of course, wished her all the best in her future endeavors. But there's rumors going around that she, and it's only rumors, but that she's dating Joey Mercury.
Well, maybe she is.
Yeah. Just a little
people
trivia.
People that, you know. Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt happen to hook up to working together on a movie?
Yeah.
That happens. You work in the same environment. You work the same hours. You're thrown together. Sometimes, it creates something that might not happen otherwise.
Right.
You know, so.
Good for them.
Huh?
Good for them.
I guess. You know, except they won't be working together.
Exactly.
and you know what? She might be a nice girl to date. What value was she? See, and that's the other thing. These young ladies are pretty much, there's an assembly line that cranks them out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Enlarges their breasts, shrinks their waist. It's just a matter, like I said, somebody in the company said to me a while back, you could hire one hot young model and give her four or five different color wigs and nobody'd know.
All right.
And they're right. Again, I show you lowering the bar,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So,
let's go. Let's move on to some good news.
I'm up for it. Wrestling's changed. No. Okay.
Infant news. TNA star Jackie Gata gave birth to a new baby girl named Kayla on Thursday morning.
Yeah, Charlie Haas is a daddy.
Yes. No word yet on if Charlie and Shelton will be referring to her as the world's greatest baby.
Well, I'm sure like any other father, he will think she is the world's greatest baby, especially being his first.
Yes,
and,
congratulations.
And I'm sure like any good grandparents, Mr. and Mrs. Haas will think it's the greatest baby daughter.
Absolutely. Congratulations go out to Charlie and Jackie.
Yeah, sure. That's cool. I'm happy for Charlie.
Good news for Ric Flair, though. He did reach a divorce settlement with his ex-wife, Beth, a couple weeks ago. That's why Flair is back now in WWE full-time. They wanted to take him off in case there were some nasty public proceedings that they were expecting to happen during this divorce settlement. But now Flair's back, and his divorce is behind him, and he can move on.
Right, to his next divorce, no.
He can work
until he's 95 paying for this one. Whatever, bless his heart.
Right.
I wish him well. I years ago, I lost a bundle in my first in for, with wife number one. So I,
right.
I mean, not what you know. I hadn't made or even close to what he's gone through. But I do understand it's an emotional upheaval for everybody. So
and financial.
Well, yes. Well, the financial creates the emotional.
Which is why Doc Young is 32 and has never been married.
All right, the Doc Young, I guess. Well, or the fact could, never mind. We won't go into why Doc Young may not be married.
No, I will live in sin forever, but I don't know about marriage, my friend.
Okay.
But if I do, you'll be the best man.
Any of you young folks listening, and Doc is not living in sin, or if he is, she's deaf, dumb, and blind. He's just making a joke.
Right. Cannot confirm nor deny.
Do not try this at home. It's done on a closed stunts are done on a closed course by professionals.
Right. This might not be a coincidence. It might be one. But the WWE writers have stopped doing the comedy skits for DX since TNA started that VKM angle mocking the group.
Yeah.
One person that's not going to be disappointed is Shawn Michaels. Of course, he's been very outspoken at the meetings, and he was against many of the skits that they thought up. But Kevin Dunn reportedly, you know, found them to be hilarious.
Michaels, well, see that, you know, I mean, and Kevin's a wrestling expert, and how many matches has he had? None. Okay.
Right.
see, so then that's why he should be calling the shots.
I was going to pretend to think about it for a minute.
Okay, well, why? Why bother? Why, you know,
you go through that
sham if you're making six figures a year or up with the company.
That's true.
you play, this is it's going into 2007, roadshow of the Emperor's new suit of clothes.
Right.
God, this is the greatest angle I've ever seen. Oh, God, I'm going home and regurgitate, but I need to tell the payroll man this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Right. I'm going to regurgitate, choking on my big...
Well, and lo and behold, there will be a third angle Joe match, speaking of TNA.
Yes.
And guess when? Next month.
Oh, God.
Wow, and we gave Joe a girlfriend so Angle could threaten to break her ankle.
Great.
This is, for those of you who don't know, this is 3 weeks away, I think, or something. I was horribly put off with ankle locking, what's her name? What's the young girl's name?
They all look alike to me.
No, the redhead.
Chris Hemme.
SoCal Val.
Oh, SoCal Val, yes.
Or ankle locking Don West, for that matter.
Yeah.
I watched this. Well, see, here we go. There's a fine line believing that Kurt Angle really wants a rematch, or is thinking, God, this is bad comedy again.
Was Don West actually selling that real hard? Like,
tell us the wrong year. Terrell Owens spit in another player's face, and it cost him $35,000.
Yes.
Didn't put anybody in an ankle lock. He spit in their face.
Mm-hmm.
Carmella Anthony threw one punch and got a 15-game suspension, which cuts it into his income up in six figures, like $700,000 over 15 games.
Good Lord.
That's the kind of money he's making. And threw one punch.
Right.
Didn't ankle lock an announcer. Well, see, and here's the other thing, too. And why am I'm against that because it's hokey for anybody. But this is an Olympic gold medal winner. Shouldn't there be just a shred of class here?
Yeah.
I'm not saying he shouldn't, but I envision him asking for his rematch more in the character of Dirty Harry, with that, you know, that smoldering, and actually talking about it like it's an athletic endeavor.
All right.
Not like it's bad comedy.
Do you feel lucky, Joe?
Huh?
Do you feel lucky,
well,
Joe?
Well, no, but I mean, you know what I'm saying? But here's the deal. That's the other thing, too. All these characters just run together. They're all alike. They're all over the top. There's no way to discern that Doc Young is any different than Joe Blow, because they're all basically all the same. And I just for an Olympic gold medalist to grab an... Now, see, that's... You grab an announcer. Then you grab an office stooge in the back who's making copies. And then Eric Young, who's the comedy figure, you threaten him and say, where's Joe? Like... My question, Kurt, excuse me, is this Joe's dad, brother, his keeper, and why would Eric Young know exactly where he's at? Well, I'm going to kill him if he doesn't know. What? I mean, but you see, the word L-O-G-I-C is gone from this.
Right.
Okay? These basketball players didn't hit any officials, and they're 10 games, 5 games, 15 games.
And if they did...
We might be talking about them going to work at the local Burger King.
Right.
You know? But, I mean, that's the whole thing. There's no attempt to really suspend people. It's just the attempt to be more over the top this next week than we were this week.
Yeah.
And at some point, you turn even the idiots off. Because it becomes so, so sane. Well,
it's
and a lot of this week.
It's repetitive.
That guy behind the scenes again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of a sudden Joe has a girlfriend that happens to appear on the air. Well, and you know, why? Well, because Angle needs somebody to break her ankle.
Right.
You know, to make Joe give him a match.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Joe met this girl at the top of the hour. They became engaged 20 minutes in. What's her name? Joe's going to have to ask what her name is again because he doesn't know. But
right.
Yet he's going to her defense. I'd say come the F on here, but
Right.
Who's writing this crap?
Speaking of ridiculous stories, we had, of course, reported last week about Stefan G., a 19-year-old German boy, who basically kicked and beat a homeless man to death.
Yeah.
And tried to blame WWE's SmackDown vs. Raw 2006 video game. Well, this week, the High Court in Germany ruled that the video game, of course, played no role in the homicide. And they also ruled that the claim cannot be used to justify the crime in court in a trial.
That sure took a couple of rocket scientists to figure that one out.
Right. So, you know, basically they called it like it was.
Nobody died or something along the same lines is where it was in Indonesia. Is they took SmackDown off the air. They made them run disclaimers. This is not for children. It
right.
runs at 10 o'clock at night. But then you're talking about culture that when soap operas are heavily edited there, because they're it's their culture, and I can respect that.
Because of adultery, or
well, because of people kissing. What kind of story? Well, you got to talk about, you know, this. Every place is not a slapstick city like the USA is.
Right.
You know, let's put The Miz out there and he'll draw us $1 million. Oh, okay, cool. But you know, so wrestling is really, you know, off the wall in many ways if they're editing these soap operas, which are, you know.
Right.
But there are hopes of putting it back on the air, obviously. SmackDown, although I'm told, was the strongest of the three WWE products in that country. That was the stronger show. Honestly, wrestling-wise, it's been the stronger show the last few weeks.
Yeah, it really has.
You'll see better matches there, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that's why. You know, I guess they like their wrestling in Indonesia. They like it. They like it normal style.
You think?
Yeah. I don't think WWE is going to be visiting Indonesia anytime soon for live events, though.
Well, they're not on TV there right now, anyway.
Right.
So that's and they split up Storm and Harris finally, with a beer bottle, of course. There was some, when I watched it last Thursday night, and Jim Cornette is one of my dearest friends. And I'm thinking he must have been regurgitating into a handkerchief or something. He's sitting at the desk with Tanae after this course. I saw wrestlers destroy office personnel, referees, announcers, not just Angle, but I forget who all. But anyway, I took count, and there were no repercussions. And then James Storm has a beer bottle, and Jim Cornette. It was only because that's the title Jim Cornette has. It could have been anybody who's the face of authority or the face of the power structure of the company is sitting ringside and watch this guy with a beer. And he said, well, you know, he shouldn't have a beer bottle in there. And I'm thinking, well, Jim, get up and tell him that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, drag his ass out of there. I agree. Why has he got a beer bottle in a wrestling ring? Why is he drinking on his way to the ring?
Right.
Well, because that has a lot of high-class expectations for people to think that he might not even be an athlete. I wouldn't think he was. You know, it's a cheap pop.
It was sort of like the Sandman smoking and drinking in the ring.
Well, except for the diehard ECW fans? Is anybody looking for that?
No.
And there's obviously a small percentage. And when I say this, TNA's number, they did 1.2. Their strongest rating, and I'm happy for them financially. That's cool. It's just the product is being watered down constantly by that man.
Mm-hmm.
That man.
He who shall not be named.
Maybe man's not the right word. Piece of crap.
Yeah. The 2006 Spike Video Game Awards were a couple weeks ago, and Mike Swick from UFC was down there interviewing celebrities. One of them was Kurt Angle, who was talking about wanting to do business with Dana White still, and he said that he'd like to do one UFC fight, you know, before he's 40. He's 38 right now, by the way. But you can check out that whole video clip over at UFC.com. I'm surprised that Kurt Angle's still talking about doing this sort of thing.
Well, you know what? May I say this? And I know Angle would beat me in a heartbeat. It's talk. Period.
Yeah.
End of story.
You think?
Well, it's... If I don't know Dana White, I've never talked to Dana White, but if Dana White and I have, do agree on one thing, you can't serve both masters and do it effectively. Mm-hmm. You can't continue to work in our industry and prepare yourself for that. And just being a great wrestler, it's there's too many variables in MMA. You know?
Right.
Probably... You know, a few years ago, Angle, but is he a good striker? I don't know. You know, and that's part of it, too.
Right.
The guys he's, he's talking about Tito Ortiz. Again, I'm no expert on MMA, but I know Ortiz is a striker.
Yes.
He's not a great wrestler. So, again, you can't train for, it's not like, well, hey, I just won the Olympics, and so now I'm going to be up.
Right.
I think Brock Lesnar, due to his size, probably has a better shot at that. He's a lot younger than Kurt, and just has so much. Well, it's like Bob Sapp to a certain degree. Sapp, his size and power is what's kept him in the game. I mean, you know, if the smaller guys take him the distance, then he blows up. But I think Lesnar's a better athlete than Sapp in that respect.
Yeah.
But still, he's unknown, right? I mean, you don't know. Turkay. It is Turkay, too, by the way. I don't know why they call him. What is Turkay? Sylvester Turkay. I know from him being at OVW. But anyway, here's a guy who went to MMA and was mildly successful, but just didn't go and take the world by storm. And he's... He was only beaten by Angle or maybe one or two other guys during his entire top amateur career. Or, I'm sorry, he beat Angle. That's the story.
Ah.
Yes, he beat Angle. There you have it. It's not that easy.
No.
You know, and Angle's health and his age, and it's just, you know, I think it's just, you know, and again, I don't think you can do both. I think if he's going to do MMA before he's 40, then he needs to quit professional wrestling today and start training in that direction. And with a little luck, he'll have one good shot at it before he's 40.
Right.
You know. And again, I'm no MMA expert, but that's just my opinion and my stance from what I've seen and from people I've talked to and what little I know.
And if he loses, it's going to make not only himself but wrestling look bad.
Well, sure. Well, sure. You know, it's, like I say, you know, Turkay was a hell of an amateur wrestler, and he's had a mildly successful MMA career. But obviously not so successful. You never heard anything about him, right?
No.
Okay. That kind of answers the story.
Right.
That answers the question.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going back to pick the winners and the losers?
Yeah, we'll be doing that in a little bit. Goldberg, there's news on Goldberg.
What's the news?
He just finished filming an appearance for Law & Order SVU.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's going to be running sometime, he said, in mid-January.
Oh, cool, because we watch that show all the time.
So you have to check that out. I don't know exactly who he's playing or what he's doing yet, but mid-January, check. Look for Goldberg on Law & Order SVU.
Right.
Stacey Keibler is going to be on a TV show called Brothers and Sisters.
What about Brian?
What about Brian is the name
of it. Yes, she's going to be his next-door neighbor or neighbor across the hall. I don't watch the show, but my wife and I read that, and my wife and I were talking about it, and she said she heard the show was pretty good. We'll probably check it out just, to see how Stacey does. I'm happy for her. That's cool.
Yes, and we spoke about last week Trish Stratus was doing a reality show.
Over in your part of the world. Muncie, Indiana.
In Muncie, Indiana, where celebrities will actually carry badges and become cops.
Yeah, Eric Estrada, right?
Yes.
One of the guys.
I just feel like driving around Muncie really fast so Trish can pull me over. You
and
know?
She worked some little indie group's corner. She didn't get in the ring because she was on duty, had to have her gun on or something, but she leveled some guy or something. And I'm sure it was a horrible show.
Because it was held in Muncie.
Well, because I read the names of the people who were on it, and I never heard of any of them.
Right.
And they were probably, the normal, I'm an insurance agent, but I fantasize about being a wrestler. I've never been in shape in my life, and I do it twice a month, so I'm obviously a cool guy.
Yeah.
Do I sound resentful to those people? Well, I am. Okay? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I left the found of flesh in the business on the trail behind me, and I don't think it should be that easy to be a part of this industry. That's all.
Right. We spoke about this on the show last week too, and a lot of there's been a lot of talk about it since then about RVD declining to take the trip to Iraq.
Yeah.
It seems to be that he's back in the doghouse like he was last year when he declined.
Well, I said, I my hat is off, my admiration to those who went. It obviously, you're taking a risk,
mm-hmm.
And to say that you care that much or that patriotic or whatever the reason, even just for the, hey, I'm going for the publicity and hope I don't die. If that's the point is you went, right? But due to the high risk factor, this could be injurious to your health thing, type of thing. Those who elect not to go, I think that's fine too.
Yeah.
As you realize, our Army, there is no draft today. It's still, your choice, right?
Right.
It's totally, a volunteer deal.
Mm.
And you're not ridden out of town on a rail if you decide not to volunteer for the service.
Right.
So it's like, it's his call. And I also understand the guys who think they need a physical break. We all do, right? Those writers, the suits, as they're called, the administration people. Some I can't say none of them are wrestlers, but obviously some of them have forgotten what it's like to take bumps on a steady basis. And we're talking about goofier bumps now than before, as we start open the show with about Joey Mercury and the ladder thing.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, it takes longer to recover from that.
Yeah.
I've got big gonads. Testosterone runs freely. I'm a big stud, and I'm in a wheelchair. Okay.
Right.
Stupid you is all I can say.
Well, I guess
because the fans and the company are going to forget you.
Yeah. Eventually.
I mean, well, they may not forget you, but it's not going to help your back heal. It's not going to make you walk again. It's just not. So I think at some point. You have to draw the line, and if that's where he drew the line, then it's where he drew the line.
Right. I guess the story goes that it's not so much that RVD didn't go, but the unwritten law was that you're supposed to kiss butt, basically, tell them how great an opportunity it is,
and gently turn them down. That's the whole stance. You have two. I don't lay this all at Vince's. You have two major companies. And I can guarantee you, I've said this before, people from my generation or the generation after me that are still around this business, their opinion is basically the same as mine. I may not be as strong and as pointed to that group, but it still, they have to smile, take the check, and say, God, isn't this great?
Yeah.
We're doing wonderful things for the industry. When they're not, that's what I said. It's the 2007 road version of the Emperor's New Suit of Clothes.
Mm-hmm.
He's walking around naked, and you have to tell him how great he looks.
Right.
I'm sorry. It's that's the way it is. It's demeaning, and it's sad. And when I say this, I didn't always agree with what went on in particular territories. I didn't burn bridges or try my best not to. As a talent, because that's just not wise. But here's the deal. The reality is that I could have, I never worked that territory, firstly, because I always looked at it as a big man's territory, right?
Yeah.
But I still made a very good living and was able to spend 20 years in the ring and then work as a, announcer, editor, whatever after. So. Now you make Vince mad and make Panda mad, you're done.
Right. Or you're punished severely.
Sure.
On TV. But not a good thing. But
you can't say, you know, what we were talking about Don Jardine earlier. If you were adamant with Jardine, well, you know, come into my territory, we'll push you, do this. And then 6 months down the road or a year down the road, we'll mask you. No, you won't. Oh, yes, we will. No, you won't, because I'm not coming.
Right.
If we can't come to an agreement, then I'm not even bothering us to make the move.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have that option anymore.
No.
And I think that's sad. The trouble is there isn't a monopoly. The monopoly is there's not enough promotions. You know, so on one hand, I'm ecstatic that TNA had a 1.2. On the other hand, I watch some of the crap that I can't say it any nicer that they're putting out there, and I'm thinking, quit, please. Because you're not doing it. You're not doing the industry, the people in it, or those who care about it a favor.
Right.
You're really not. You know? But that's my strong view. And after 46 years, I've earned the right to it, I think. Now, mm-hmm. does that go along with everybody else? I don't really care. How's that?
You know, that's well said.
You know? I mean, I've earned the right. Kevin Dunn hasn't. I don't give a damn what he's directed. Or
right.
Vince Russo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Well, there's a lot of talk now that, you know, RVD's contract is going to expire in the early part of the year, and we may see him in TNA by this
you
time
may.
Next year.
Will he be used properly?
Who knows?
See, then that's the other thing, too. This whole Angle Joe thing is over before it starts. Where do you go after this? And this is going to be a half-hour Iron Man match, I'm told. First of all, that's...
That's not an Iron Man match.
No, not to me. No, 60 minutes is an Iron Man match.
Right.
Can they? I know I've seen Joe. I've seen Angle go 60, but maybe Angle's not in that kind of shape. I don't know. You know, I shouldn't. All I can do is speculate. But the point is, they have not spent 45 minutes total in the ring together. They have not been in the same company for 2 complete months. That's 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of actually physically working in that company. And yet they are winding down the damn program.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense to anybody other than some internet geek? I'm
no.
sorry. I mean, that's my question. I mean, because somebody will think that's really cool.
Yeah.
No, it's not. I mean, these guys, first of all, Angle should have wrestled. Well, see, here's part of the other part. Both and TNA is as guilty of this as WWE. There's so many independent guys out there who would love to be on your TV. They would love, be happy to go out. We all went out. You know, I said to somebody the other day, talking about Don Jardine, I said how Don had gone, you know, I met him as a jobber, and this guy said, well, I can't imagine him as a jobber. And I said, why? Well, we weren't called jobbers. It was carpenters at that time,
mm-hmm.
putting guys over. And he said, well, I can't imagine. I said, why? Well, the guy that big? Well, see, that's that mentality of today, right?
Yeah.
Big guys can't lose. Well, we all lost then. You know, that's how we learned our business.
Right.
So, we all lost. So, yeah. So that's the deal. That's not the case anymore. But where I'm going with this is somebody had said to me, well, you know, Angle should have beat some other guys before he ever got to Joe. I said, yeah, who? Who hasn't been bastardized who's been left looking good? He can't. Sting is not, and when I say this, no disrespect to Sting, but that's not a good match. It's not. Mm-hmm. It almost had to be Styles, and he's going to have to. But the point is, he could have, could have been some lower level guys that he could have beaten on television. Now, okay, I'm working my way up. And you see, that storyline is not totally out of the question. I don't give a damn who Kurt Angle is. He's gone to a new company. And it was always the case whether Les Thatcher was on top in the Phoenix territory. But you're now in the Atlanta territory, and you got to prove yourself here. Or even if you were in the Atlanta territory 3 years ago, you're just coming back. There's a new crew of people, so you've got to work your way to the top.
Right.
Well, which is the case, surprisingly enough, in UFC, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't start at the top.
Right.
Right? Or... how many actual, baseball players are signed out of college this year that are going straight to the majors? Probably none. So anyway, I mean, so it all is logical and it makes sense. Plus, it gives you time to build the characters. It gives you time to build the feud. And like I say, this thing is going to be over. It won't be over. They'll drag it out and beat it to death. But, they'll have three matches under their belt before the end of January, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And where do they go from there?
One of them's going to step up to the championship.
And
the other one is in trouble.
Because wouldn't that have been a good spot for them to have met at?
Yeah.
Or to battle to get to, and one of them beats the other one to get that shot, and then when he wins the title, then there's a reason to renew the feud.
Definitely.
Right? I beat you before you won the title. See, and that's the other thing, too. It's old school, but it works.
Right.
You know? Hey, Doc Young, you owe me a title shot. Why? What do I owe you last night? Well, you know, I beat you in the middle of the ring last year before you won the title. So it's not can I beat you, it's can I beat you again.
Right.
You know? So that's the whole thing. But, of course, we're having the paparazzi challenge and making jokes about that. I said last week, I think, I was half tempted to buy me a DX T-shirt and go to Hermie Sadler's show, try to pass myself off as one of the DI, and let Brian and Kip beat the hell out of me. I'd sell for half a mil. You don't have to give me the whole mil. Just beat me up and give me $500,000. I'll settle for that.
All right.
You know, that's the other thing. Why are they wasting all that time? No, they haven't. Brian, they haven't accepted our challenge. Brian, I've known you since you were a baby. Uncle Les, they're not going to accept your challenge. But, of course, you know that, too.
You know?
But it gets a cheap pop in the impact zone.
Yes.
Because the fans there are TNA fans. So they're going to chant Vince McMahon sucks or DX sucks or whatever.
Right. That's the whole point.
But then the next time that WWE comes to Orlando, guess who's going to buy the tickets?
Right. Same people.
The guys who are chanting TNA's. You know, and then sucks. So
right.
It's just being part of the. See, and that's the other thing. It's changed in the business so dramatically. Is that the fans aren't really loyal fans as such. They just want to be a part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me to go out and say you suck, and I'll go out and say you suck. Tell me to, you know,
It's like this. It's
like
fans...
you're trying to make a storyline out of Tracy. Forcing Eric Young to sign with Rude Enterprises. What is Rude Enterprises?
Him.
And why? I can't beat the clown of the roster, so now I want to hire him. Where do we go? How far down do we go from this?
Mm-hmm.
But you get my point.
Yeah.
And when I say this, that's we've had Eric on the show. He's a cool kid, and he is relatively funny, and he's done a good job with what they've given him to do. But it's not like George Clooney in Ocean's 12 is hiring Bud Abbott from Abbott and Costello to be his bouncer.
Right.
Right? It makes no sense. I'm sorry.
No, sure don't. It's time to shill, Les.
It's time to what?
It's time to shill.
Okay, what do you want to shill? Well, for one of the things we're going to shill is coming up after the new year is I'm going to be in Waynesboro, Virginia, April 13th and 14th. And 15, Ward Family Promotions, the All-American Pro Wrestling Fan Fair, and Super Show Weekend.
It's going to be a huge one.
And I am hosting the first ever Jim Cornette Roast.
Yes.
And that's on Friday night, the 13th.
Did you find out if that's going to be on the DVD?
I don't have a clue. I know this, the platinum, is it the platinum tickets? The tickets that get you into all the gimmicks.
Platinum.
Yeah, there's only like 20-some left.
Wow.
Yeah, but yeah, it's going to be a heck of a turnout. I'm really looking forward to it. It's
Yeah, that's going to be a great weekend.
It's a cool part of the country. It's spring. The weather should be nice. And it's just, you know, and see a lot of people, a lot of things, you know, the roast will be different. We're having dinner, and then there's the promoters Q&A at the end that evening, Johnny Valiant, the stand-up comedy routine he's been doing around the country, Divas, that would be Lisa, formerly Ivory, Molly or Nora, China, I'm not sure who all, how many girls are on this thing. They're having a slumber party on Saturday.
As long as Molly's there, I'm in my PJs and I've got my.
I can see you coming carrying a little candle like the Fisk Tire guy, right?
Yes, exactly.
With your footies and your jammies.
Exactly, right. And a teddy bear. I'm there.
And then there's a show on Saturday night. Autographs, pictures. The whole nine yards. It should be cool. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, over 50 wrestlers going to be there.
Yeah, and you can check it. It's www.wfpromotions, Ward Family. It's not Ward Family, but it's wfpromotions.com.
Yes.
And all the information is there.
And huge
schedule.
And,
of course, the holiday season, James Gubman was pushing his book. I'm too stupid to push ours. Somebody has to. The publishing company's not. Anyway. The Pro Wrestler's Instructional Workout Guide by Harley Race, Ricky Steamboat, myself, and Alex Marvez with a foreword by Jim Ross. Available at your local bookstore, High Spots, Amazon.com, Sports Publishing LLC's website, and a sundry other places.
Fine reading.
You know, legitimately, you can, if you can read, it will tell you how you should learn to work, but it won't teach you to work. Nothing will do that other than hundreds of hours in the ring with a competent trainer.
Right. But I've learned some pretty cool stuff reading that book.
Did you? Cool.
Yes.
I'm glad.
Stuff I did not know, so it was a good buy for me.
Good.
I
have to remember, I must have got a 5 cent residual off that. That's cool. I owe you a nickel. Okay.
Yeah, all righty. Our DVD is out. That No Second Chances was the first Wrestling Weekly produced independent show.
You're actually going to release that to the public.
We are actually going to release this to the public. It went on sale last night at midnight. You can buy it exclusively.
Has it outsold Brooke Hogan's DVD yet?
No, but
no,
it did outsell Kevin Federline's.
Okay, has it outsold the Marine?
No. But it is available at Wrestling.
Let me say here, I had nothing to do with it. Well, the exception of Rosie, none of these people spend time in my camp.
Right. This is not
any resemblance between some of them and a professional wrestler is purely coincidental.
Yes. Les was there, and he does make an appearance on the DVD.
I do?
But, yes.
What did I do? Without being, okay, now I didn't sign any releases here or anything. I suppose I'm going to have to sue you.
He does make an appearance on the DVD, but it's a shorter appearance than even the Brian Pillman DVD.
Wow.
Let's put it that way.
It can't hardly be any shorter.
It's comparable to you on the McMahon DVD.
Well, I haven't seen that one, so I couldn't tell you. But if it's any shorter than on the Brian Pillman, it's like less than a second.
It's a couple seconds, I would say.
Well,
this DVD.
Well, I was probably a picture of me in shocked horror looking at one of these matches and thinking, God, what are these people doing in a wrestling match? It's amateur night here in Vincent, Indiana.
Oh, there's a few good matches. But you guys, you can buy this rare fan cam DVD. This is a fan cam.
Rare. Don't listen. I've got to hang up. Rare, yes, fantastic.
No, I said fan cam.
Oh, okay. Rare fan cam.
It's a fan cam
fantastic.
DVD.
I say rare, yes, fantastic, absolutely not.
Which means it was actually filmed by somebody in the stands. So, you know, the picture quality, you know, it's probably not that great, but you could see Rosie in action, formerly in the WWE. Heartthrob Romeo Roselli is on the disc. Robert Eagle Anthony, who was just signed by WWE, is going to be starting at Deep South.
Josh Abercrombie, who's on Wrestling Society X.
Yes.
Or will be on Wrestling Society X.
Yes, you can see Josh, I believe.
That was one of the highlights for me.
Josh Abercrombie's match?
Yeah. Well, Josh Abercrombie. No, the other kid was
CJ.
Yeah, Otis, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, needs a lot of polish.
Yeah.
Yeah, Josh led him very well, though.
You could buy this DVD for $8.99. It's available at WrestlingWeekly.com. You could check out, of course, who's going to be on the card and who's all there. Basically the roster. But there, it also has two versions, a captioned version and a non-captioned version, because some of the things are kind of hard to hear.
The captioned version is for those of us who can't hear.
being that it is a... you know, a fan cam, some of the things are kind of hard to hear. So we do have a captioned version of the show.
Cool.
Where you can understand what it is.
I'm excited. You are going to send me a copy of this.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll send you a copy.
For $8.99 plus shipping.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm having my lawyers.
No,
I'm
of course.
I'm calling and telling you. They got me on this underground DVD.
Yes, and
oh my God,
it was going to be your Christmas present. You just ruined it last.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. You can see Doc Young as the ring announcer.
Oh yeah, yeah, I was the
you
ring
can
announcer.
See him, take his bump.
Take my my first and last professional wrestling bump.
Okay.
Which didn't look so professional.
All, that's what it was about. I mean, it was Doc's fantasy league, and so now he's done that. Been there, done that.
Hey, who knows? We might have another show in 2007. You never know.
Okay. Okay.
We'll be giving Rosie a call, maybe.
Huh?
We may be giving Rosie a call.
I got you. All right.
But, yeah, it's available at WrestlingWeekly.com for $8.99. For $8.99, I think it's a good deal. You know, ain't the greatest thing that's ever happened, but you can see some past stars, present stars, and some future stars on this show.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and move straight into Armageddon and the pay-per-view prediction game from last week. And find out who won. I think I got my butt kicked this time, but...
Okay.
It was the, of course, the WWE ladder match. Turned into a ladder match on us. Between Brian Kendrick, Paul London. They beat Dave Taylor and William Regal.
They beat everybody, right?
Eminem and the Hardys, yes.
Yeah, right.
You had went with, of course, you know, this was just supposed to be a three-way at one point.
But what you're getting around to is I picked the winners regardless.
Right.
Okay, well, just say that, Doc. I mean, it's all right.
Les got the point for that.
I seldom win these things. So
I had...
Cut me a little slack when I do, for God's sake.
Okay, here's one I did win. The Boogeyman defeated The Miz. Yes. We both went with the Boogeyman.
That was a defeat for both of them the minute they they clumsily stepped through the ropes. Okay?
Exactly.
I just tend to forget that was even on the card.
Cruiserweight champion Gregory Helms defeated Jimmy Wang Yang.
I picked that one right.
That was another one that we both got. We both got a point for that. That leaves you up 3-1. The U.S. champion Chris Benoit defeated Chavo Guerrero.
I picked that one, right?
You picked that one. I picked Chavo Guerrero on this one. I don't know why.
I know, and I know you picked Kennedy on The Undertaker.
Yes.
I remember I picked The Undertaker.
Yes, The Undertaker defeated Mr. Kennedy in a last ride match.
Right. I picked Kane in the fire match.
The Undertaker did win, and that was another point for Les. Kane defeated MVP in the Inferno match. Which I went with MVP on this.
Why?
You know what? I have no idea. It's just because Kane's been jobbed out so bad lately.
I blew your butt away on this one, didn't I?
And I was watching Friday.
You're not answering my question.
Yes, you're kicking my butt. I have to give credit where it's due, Les.
Well, I so seldom do that. I've got to gloat a little bit.
Especially when you force me to.
It's my Christmas gloat.
But I was watching Friday Night SmackDown on Friday. And I was watching the Purple Power Ranger, and you know, backstage, and I realized this guy has everything covered on him but his hands and his feet. He's losing the Inferno match. And I was like, man, if I could change my vote right now, I would have picked Kane.
Uh-huh.
Because obviously you can put some sort of fire-resistant clothing on under MVP's costume, of course.
Yeah. Well, Kane goes that type of costume.
Right, and Kane goes shirtless now.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't have been very good. I mean, it was just really stupid. I wasn't thinking. But Les did get to one on that. And the, of course, World Heavyweight Championship Batista, the champion Batista, excuse me, and the WWE champion John Cena defeated the King Booker and Finlay, like we said, to send the fans home happy. That puts you, Les, at probably the biggest beating I've ever took in the pay-per-view game.
I thought so. I got lucky. What can I say?
Usually,
Mom, I won.
Usually if you win, it's by 1 or 2 points, and you won by, I believe, 4.
I look into the camera and say, Mom, I won it for you.
Les did it.
I did it.
We're going to take a break, guys. When we come back, we've got our featured guest coming on, Scott Norton.
Anybody in the chat room that bought every pay-per-view 5 weeks in a row, raise your hand, please. I want to give you my sympathy and realize you spent all your Christmas money for
naught.
Right.
If you did buy all five pay-per-views in a row, I think you can call the Salvation Army and get on that list where they will give your family presents for free because you obviously have no money left.
I heard that. that very well may be possible.
Yes. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Satcher on Wrestling Weekly. We'll be right back with our featured guest right after this.
We know, you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taken place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly. Les, you have a message for everybody.
Yeah, I've got to bow out early due to a family commitment with the holidays. But we're not going to be on next week.
Right.
We come back January what?
3rd.
January the 3rd.
I'm sorry, the 2nd.
The 2nd, okay.
I'm just now looking at the calendar.
I told Doc I wanted to come back and wish everybody and every listening and everybody in the chat room, thank you so much for the past year. It's I know I bellyache and everything. It's been fun. Thank you so much for being a part of our show. Doc, thank you so much for tolerating me and putting up with me. And
same here, buddy.
I'm looking forward to that exciting DVD.
Yes, it'll be there by Christmas, my friend.
And I want to wish you and everyone extremely Merry Christmas and a great New Year, and looking forward to doing a lot more shows next year with you and with the fans. God bless y'all.
Excellent. We'll see you again in 2007. Les, have a great holiday.
All right, buddy, and I'll talk to you in a couple days.
Okay.
All right. We're
going to take a break, guys, and when we come back, Scott Norton's going to be on the line. Hang in there. It's Wrestling Weekly.
Wrestling-radio.com, the Internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
He can considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, The Best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Hi, my name is Adam Nedelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That's stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Nedelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
Total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, The Best of Raven, Enigma, The Best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, The Best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
It's like a pulse that refuses to die. After 4 years, the chants are as loud as ever. These three letters changed history.
This ain't WCW.
Revolutionized sports entertainment.
This ain't Monday Night Raw.
And brought the wrestling world to its knees.
Oh my God!
Tonight, the revolution is reborn. Welcome to the underground. Welcome to the cutting edge. Welcome to the extreme.
This, my friend, is ECW.
Doc Young back here with you at Wrestling Weekly. It's our last show of the year, as we said. We are taking a Christmas, well, the day after Christmas off. Of course, Les is going to be going to see his family. I, of course, am going to be watching Christmas reruns and eating banquet chicken TV dinner on that day. So we're gonna. I always have to take that day off. But on the line right now is our featured guest. He is, of course, a big star in Japan right now. He's former WCW wrestler, of course, formerly with the NWO. Scott Norton is here. Scott, I want to welcome you back to Wrestling Weekly.
Well, thanks for having me. It's good to be on.
So how have you been, my friend? We haven't talked to you in a little while.
I've been good. You know, I've been starting back to work over in Japan. I got some bookings over there, and I'm working with a new company, which is kind of brand new for me, but it's going good. I'm excited about getting back to work in Japan and doing what I do.
Yeah, I think last time we spoke to you, you had a show with your new company. It's called Wild West Championship Wrestling.
Yes, I did.
And who was going to be there? Johnny Fairplay was going to be there.
Johnny Fairplay, I tell you, that was worth it.
That's worth the price of admission.
He was the most entertaining guy I've ever been around for 3 days in my life. After the show, I thought he's sick. He was actually quiet for a little while, and all of a sudden, he perked right up. You know, he started drinking Red Bull and vodka. And, Phoenix is on fire. But, yeah, the guy's great. He's quite a guy. I really got along with Johnny Wall. He was just a joy to be around. He's nonstop. I can see why he does what he does, because
he's an entertainer.
The way it is.
He's definitely an entertainer.
The guy, he doesn't rest. And, he was a lot of fun to be around. He was definitely a plus. And, the people really liked him. He worked well with the guys. And, we're definitely going to have him back.
Excellent. We had Johnny Fairplay on a few months ago on the program. And beforehand, I had told Les, of course, you know, we're going to have Johnny Fairplay on the show. He's like, what are we going to talk to Johnny Fairplay about? Yeah, he's not really a wrestler, you know. And I said, no, trust me, man, this guy is funny. You know, he's got all these stories, and the fans will really like it. And he's like, okay, you know,
right.
I trust you, but I don't know. I don't know what I would be able to talk to him about, you know. We got Johnny on the show. Man, oh, man. After the show, Les was like, I'm sorry, man. I thought that this wouldn't go well, but that guy, you know.
Oh, yeah, Johnny, he could make the best out of any situation. Plus, you know, he's real knowledgeable about, you know, a lot of the guys. He's a lot of friends of a lot of the wrestlers. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, he's a huge fan. He really enjoys what he's doing. And, you know, he has a passion for it. And, Johnny's cool. I mean, totally cool. I just got a Christmas card from another, I think it was yesterday, and he had me going 100 miles an hour at that. Just, you know, because I look at the card. He's not making any noise. He's not doing anything. And the card's loud. And he's just, you know, he's just a ball.
He's
just to be around. And you look at the picture of him, and it's just that sneer. And you know that guy, I wonder what's going on in there.
Johnny strikes me as the kind of guy who would send out a picture of his butt with the Christmas cards, you know?
Well, that was actually pretty presentable. I mean, I was really surprised. And, it was with, you know, a real hot chick on the, you know, he was cuddling up with or whatever, and that was cool.
Yeah. We got some questions going out in the chat room. Might as well get to some of those right now.
Okay.
James Orangecorn wants to know what your thoughts are on the current TNA product, and would you ever go there or visit?
I think it's a great product. I think they're doing a good job, and sure, I'd like to go in there. I mean, a passion I do have is I would like to get in the ring with Samoa Joe. And, you know, I know Samoa Joe works with TNA,
mm-hmm.
and I think that he and I could be a real solid match. I know we could be a real solid match. I'd like to take it to Japan. I'd like to bring it to my company. And to lock horns with Samoa Joe, I guess I'm going to go there. He's got to come where I'm at. And, you know, it's been talked about before.
Right.
And the fans' response has been real solid. They think it'd be, you know, a tight match. And, you know, he's a great talent. And,
well, Samoa Joe's still wrestling for Ring of Honor here and there.
Yeah.
Maybe you can make a DVD.
Sure.
Good main event in Ring of Honor.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, when you got a guy like him, and I, you know, he has my total respect, and his style and my style, I promise it would be just a real solid, real good match. And, you know, it works. It would work for me. And I, you know, another guy they're talking was Rhino, and I think that would be a good match also. So, yeah, I definitely think they got a great thing going there, you know, and they're getting stronger and stronger as they go. And, I would definitely like to get a shot in there. You know, it's just something that scheduling time, you know, to take off and do what it would take to get something like that going. But
Right, because you're in Japan like half the time now.
Well, you know, when I go to Japan, you know, like this new company I'm working for, it's called Y Station. And this guy is a great promoter. He's a great guy. He has tons of energy. And when, you know, I did one shot for him in early November here. And when I got there, you know, he brought me in 3 days early, and I was booked solid. I mean, I was arm wrestling comedians. I was on talk shows. And it's just something that he's starting it all up again for me as far as, you know, before when I was with New Japan, you know, I was there 17, 18 years. And, I mean, you know, you can only get so many different interviews, so many different appearances on TV shows that it kind of stops for you.
Right.
Well, now it's all fired up again. And, you know, after my match, they brought the arm wrestling table in, and I took on anybody from the crowd. And that was just a great response. You know, they take advantage of what I used to do with the arm wrestling and whatnot.
Did you ever lose?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I mean, sure. But, you know, if you're a top arm wrestler and you say, you know, if a guy comes into a big tournament, he says, I've never lost before.
Right.
I want him right away because he's never arm wrestled anybody. It's just an impossible sport to go undefeated in.
Mm-hmm.
But for a period of time towards the end there, I went about 5 years without getting beat.
Wow.
And when I won the world title, I had 34 matches, and the Eclipse time was 29 seconds. I was just, I mean, it was, I was on. So, I mean, you can have a period of time where you can be unstoppable, you know, say, but you're not going to.
Right.
They're just too good. They're too strong, and there's just too many things that could happen.
I mean, have you ever lost when you did the when the fans came into the
ring? No.
Okay.
Because if I think the guy's going to beat me, I'm just going to fight him.
Right.
You know.
Because that's what you can do.
I mean, if I grab his hand and I say, "Oh my God, this guy's going to be tough," you know, I'm going to knock him right in the chops. No, I mean.
Have you ever had like a ridiculously small guy come out of the crowd and be like, "I want a piece of you"?
Just this last time. This is it was great because a guy I arm wrestled, like I could barely see him over the table, and he, you know, he was a little Japanese guy, all muscled up, tank top on. He was going 100 miles an hour. He wanted it, and you know, he was on his tiptoes getting on that table. You know, and, I mean, he didn't have a chance because I mean, you know, I had him by 200 pounds,
right?
You know, but I didn't, you know, I didn't jack him, and you know, the people went nuts. They're just, and this guy, I mean, I'm just standing watching. I'm gonna make him quit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm holding him, and he just ain't quitting. And I mean, this guy, he was turning purple. But, you know, I'm not going to put the guy down. And then finally, he's getting himself in a position. If I did put him down, I'm going to hurt him.
Right.
So I pulled him towards me up on the table. And then I gently put him down. So, anyways, you know, I messed around him for probably a minute. Next guy in line was about a 400-pound sumo wrestler, and I go, where did this guy come from?
Oh, God.
Because, I mean, you know, I'm going from the bantams, the featherweights here, to the super heavy.
Right.
And he was with our sponsor. And so, you know, I said, man, I got to take this guy serious. He's a big fella, you know. But I knew I could outsmart him on the table if I had to. And, you know, it wasn't. You know, some guys can, some guys can't. I'm sure if I went to sumo wrestling, I'd have a hell of a time with him, you know. But in the arm wrestling, it was pretty easy, so.
Is there a secret to winning, like, that the regular fans don't know about? Some maybe wrist strength or?
Sure. You know, it's like you take a guy out of the gym, you know, that can bench 500 pounds. He can do super heavy dumbbell curls, barbell curls. Tricep work, you're just a real strong, solid guy. Then you take a guy that does the same thing in the gym, but trains as an arm wrestler, he's going to blow him right out.
Really? Yeah.
You know, they're just, you know, the tendon strength and the condition of an arm wrestling, you know, it's brutal. I mean, because you lock up with a guy for a minute and a half, and I mean, it's like wrestling a 20-minute match sometimes. I mean, you're just totally exhausted. Your arm is dead. It's like, you know, I mean, I've never been in a marathon, but I mean, you just have nothing left to give, you know.
Right.
And so it's a different kind of condition. And, you know, you always, everywhere you go, there's always, you know, this local guy, he's a great arm wrestler. Well, he is in that little, you know, surrounding area or, you know, small pond, big fish.
Right.
He locks up with a guy that knows what's going on. He could be a middleweight, and he's going to get, you know.
His butt handed to him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, so. I mean, I used to get in some pretty big tournaments, and John Brzezink and this kid named Fisher and a couple other guys. Well, they come in and they'd enter the light heavyweight, heavyweight, and super heavyweight.
Mm-hmm.
We even had a guy, Patton, that entered the 150, 175 pound class, 176 to 201 pound class, 201 pound to 251, then the super heavyweight. He won all the other four classes beneath me, and I wrestled him in the final.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's a buck and a half. And I mean, I didn't go in there going, well, I got this one, no problem. You know, I was going in there, and I'm gonna tear this guy's arm off. I'm not even gonna give him a
give him a chance. Yeah.
I mean, I'm gonna hit him as hard as I hit Cleve Dean.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just the way it is, you know, because the last thing you want to do is be 330 pounds and walking off the stage going, what happened?
Right.
You know, they'll never get it back.
Yeah.
No matter what. I mean, just so. Yeah, that just, you know, there's some really remarkable arm wrestlers, and there's some strong guys that will really surprise you. It's like you see a big, nice, you know, Hemi Kuda. Some guy pulls up the line, he's got a grandma's looking Nova, and he's got a, you know, 572 crate engine in that mug, and it looks like he's going to the grocery store, and all of a sudden, boom, he's gone. That's the same thing with arm wrestling. You know, you just, it doesn't always, when you look at your opponent, it doesn't always really measure up. I remember when I was in a powerlifting contest in Richmond, Virginia, and I was going, at that time I was trying to beat Kazmar's bench record, and shortly thereafter Ted Arcidi came on the scene, which went, you know, he went over 7. But anyways, they told me there was another guy there that day who was going to go over 6, and I said, really? And so anyways, you know, I figured just by being there I would find him. I couldn't find him. I said, you know, I'm looking around, I'm going, none of these guys look like they could do 600 pounds me. So I was, you know, we're going through the things, and also this guy come walking up, and I kid you not, this guy looked no more like a weightlifter as I do a, you know, a marathon runner.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And he put up 601 pounds, tripled his body weight that day.
Good
and
Lord.
I left, I'm just going, man. You know, I thought I was doing something. But, you know, that was just. So, you know, it's not always what, you know, it's, you know, the big jacked up guy, the big arms and all that. Arm wrestling's a different deal, you know.
There was a legend a long time ago, I believe you know of him, Danny Hodge.
Sure.
He was a little guy, but everybody said he had the greatest tendon strength, and he could crush your hand.
It was true.
Who do you think would win an arm wrestling match against you and Danny Hodge today?
Oh, I'd tear him apart. I mean, this is a radio show. I could say anything I want.
That's true.
You know, tell me a good shoot fighter, I'll knock him out.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, but...
Scotty knows the rounds.
You know, but no. But, you know, I mean, when I did it, I feel like there was a period of time there where there was a couple guys. Virgil Arcero won from Cali. Cleve Dean, of course, had a shot,
mm-hmm.
and maybe John Brzezink, when I was really, really solid. And I mean, these guys were the best. And but there was times where a period of my, you know, arm wrestling career where I thought I was there, and I go into a big tournament and I come out and I went 2-2, and I'm going, what happened?
Right.
So I mean, you know, I just can't ever say, you know, hey, I take Hodge and just jerk his arm off. You know, because it's just one match. I mean, you don't, it's just the way you approach things. You get too far ahead of yourself, and you're going to come home. I mean, you better respect what you're doing. You know, it's like you go out the door with somebody, and you're going to lock up some knuckles. I mean, he's coming out there for a reason. It's the same thing when they show up at the table. They're there for a reason. So, you know, I never always said, you know, I know I could beat this guy, but I'm pretty sure I could. He'd have had a problem.
There's another question going on in the chat room. I think this is a good one. Bakehead says, what's your first memory of wrestling, and how old were you when you became a fan?
Oh, man. Well, AWA days. I mean, my grandmother, this is great. This is a great question because my grandmother loved the AWA. And, you know, tornadoes in Minnesota are pretty prevalent. And then my dad, we lived on the north side of Minneapolis. She lived in the northeast side, so it was across the Mississippi River.
Mm-hmm. Right there in the heartland.
Right, big tornado storm coming. My dad calls his mother, my grandmother, and says, you got to get down the base. She says, I'm not going. I said, he goes, why? He says, after the wrestling show, I'll go down there.
Oh, my God.
My dad hops in his car, drives over there, makes her go down the basement. She gets madder than heck at him, puts in the basement. So, anyways, he comes back, and we ended up watching the wrestling show. And, you know, because, I mean, the tornado came through, the horns stopped and all this and everything. He had to run all the way over to get my grandmother to go downstairs. You know, she's pretty stubborn, Polish woman, and whole nine yards, and
right.
He came back. And so I remember watching, I was probably 7, 8 years old.
Wow.
And, you know, I'm not sure who was on the show, but it was great. And the AWA was great all the way through. I was real fortunate because it was a local show. It wasn't like, you know, WWE's, that's like the NFL.
Right.
You know, you could live right next to the, you know, Vince's big corporate building, and it doesn't feel like it's a homegrown show. That was a homegrown show. It was real fun to be a fan of that and watch it. And I mean, it was an entertaining. It's today I think that show would be entertaining just because it was the characters and you know. I mean, you got
it's a pretty
Mad Dog Vachon, guys like that. They were just great. Baron Von Raschke was great. The Crusher was. You know, they bring the Sheiks, and they bring all these, you know, who's the guy from South Africa, for crying out loud, Curl the Beers. You know, they had good characters, and the wrestling was good.
It was sort of by the book wrestling.
Right.
Sort of not today, not what it's like today. They didn't have the corny storylines and people, you know, coming back from the dead and things like that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I could just imagine... I mean, a dropkick back then, you were pretty much done.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, you know, they did wrestling shows, and I think that they brought the fans into it more. They played the true, you know, good guy, bad guy way better, you know. And, I mean, it just was entertaining. We enjoyed it.
It's been a long time since the sleeper hold was a finisher, you know.
You know how many sleeper holds I walked out of? I was in a match in Japan where I powerbombed a guy, and his partner had me in the sleeper, and I walked to the locker room, and he was on my – still had us locked in. And people, I'm walking by, and I'm high-fiving him. I'm going, you know, back to the locker room, and he's still choke-trying, and he's shaking on me and everything. They went nuts. And, you know, and that was cool.
Yeah.
It was fun, you know. But, I mean, I'm crying out loud. I mean, you know, you lock it in, it's over.
That used to be a feared move in wrestling.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, the figure four. I mean, Flair worked phenomenal matches around that one fearsome, just unbelievable hold.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, and it was just, you know, he based on, you know, the last 40% of his match around it, and it was awesome. I mean, people just, it was just, they believed. And, the more Steamy got behind it, the better he got. And, you know, I mean, you know where he ended up, after crying out loud.
Right.
You know, and I sit there, I remember about 5, 6 years ago, Fit Finley, me and Dave are pretty close friends. We're good friends that just don't ever sit down and have a beer anymore because, you know, he's
everybody's
on one end of the planet and I'm on the other end of the planet, you know. But,
right.
You know, I talked to him one time. I said, man, I'm really stale right now. I need to change something. I need to get going on something, you know. And he says, he goes, there's loads of things we can do. Then all of a sudden, he ended up getting a promotion within the WWE, and we just never sat down and did it. But I wish I could have taken my style and incorporated a lot of what those guys did, because, you know, it's what I do in the ring is pretty much, you know, ground and pound, basically, you know. It's pretty physical, violent, and go, you know. And to get the best out of some matches, I wish I could have took them in a different way. You know, I wish I could have sat down with Dave and got more help from him because, I mean, he's brilliant. He's just incredible. He, in my opinion, one of the best 3 wrestlers ever, without a question of a doubt, that really never got the opportunity to show what he had here.
Yeah, pretty underutilized.
Oh, my God. I mean, I shouldn't have said it that way, but,
yeah.
You know, I mean, he is amazing. And just equal. physically just a great guy, too.
Yeah. Chris the Crusher says, do you think that the back in WCW that the NWO got out of hand with too many members?
Well, if you're a part of it, there wasn't enough of us.
Right.
So, no. Because, I mean, I would get a phone call probably, Scott, you got 3 days off, have a good time. I'd get home from the show on Thursday from, you know, Thunder. And by the time I got to the, I took a flight back with Eric, a private jet. By the time I got home, they said, hey, Scott, you got to cover for so-and-so. I'm going, for crying out loud, I didn't even get home.
Right.
So it was 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm already back to work the next morning. Day, you know?
Yeah.
So, no, there wasn't enough guys, and especially splitting some of us off to Japan.
Yeah.
And then, you know, injuries, and some guys just don't work a whole lot. Some guys only work when they want. You know, it was difficult. That was a great group of guys, man. I had taken, you know, I'd never trade anything in professional wrestling for that time because it was great. I mean, it was, to be a part of it was just, it was,
A lot of people have this whole vision of NWO, like, and all the members, just this big party after every show. Huh. Was it like that? Did you guys hang out and go have a beer together?
Sure. I got a good one for you. We're in Panama City, and I can't remember the name of the bar with that. They did the show, outdoor show and everything, and, you know, Hogan, they brought him in one of them big cruisers, you know, that the rock stars travel in.
Mm-hmm.
For his locker room. You know, we were dressing down in, you know, a shed. Anyways, you know, all the guys in NWO got together because we're doing this great big smaz at the end, right?
Right.
So I was wearing Hogan's trailer. We're all talking, we're having a ball, and all of a sudden, you know, we found out the refrigerator was full of beer. So we cracked a couple down. We're having a few beers and everything, and all of a sudden, Eric comes running the tray. He says, go! And, you know, the show is over. We got to go over the time, and we didn't, you know, we forgot to go. And the monitor's right there, you know, and everything happened. The guys, and so anyways, here we all go running, and it's sand. And there's pieces of plywood that you walk down as a plank. Well, when one guy stands on one piece of plywood, the other end comes up, right?
Right.
So we're just falling all over the place. I mean, by the time I got to that ring, I went down about 3 times. I mean, blowed up, tired, didn't even, you know, by the time we got there, we're all, you know, taking our last sip of the beer. But it went great. Eric loved it. You know, so, yeah, we had some good ones. I remember another time, Hall Nash, we're in the Silverdome in New Orleans, and he says, all we got to do is a run at the end. I said, wonderful, beautiful. We've been on the roll. We're all beat up. Everybody's tired.
Right.
So we're sitting in the New Orleans Saints locker room. We're just kicking back, having a ball, you know, and they told us everything that's going to happen that night. So anyways, he says, yeah, you just go out the door, down the left, hit the curtain, go down. I said, okay, cool. You know, didn't even think of walking over there. It was me, Stevie Ray, Brian Adams, Bagwell, you know, Steiner, everybody. We come running out the door, you know, we didn't miss this one. We come running out. And by the time we got to the curtain, we had ran probably 400 yards. And by the time we got there, here comes Hall and Nash blowing by us in a golf cart. And the great thing about it was, is, you know, the giant was the guy we're going to put the screws to.
Right.
So by the time I get to the ring, I mean, we're all just devastated. I think Bagwell was the only one that could really, you know, he's a 240-pound guy, I think. You know, he had a little bit left in him. So anyways, I get in the ring, and the giant grabs you by the head, and he hits you with that big giant mitt.
Right.
And when that happened, it felt like my traps went numb, and my head just rolled off into the third row.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're supposed to be beating the daylights out of him, and I'm going, what happened here, you know? He could definitely stop in your tracks, that big bastard.
Oh, yeah. He's got big catcher's mitts on them arms.
That's one powerful, powerful man. But, yeah, we had, there wasn't enough of us sometimes, but, you know, there was some politics going on, just like everybody knows, and egos, and just like any other group. I'm sure they went through the same thing, WWE. They went through the same before, and it will never change.
Right. You always got to, you know, there's always that factor, the X factor of people, you know?
Sure. I mean, you got a number of guys that are all trying to, you know, do the best they can do and, you know, get, you know, ahead in the business and, you know, work hard. And, you know, one thing I do have to say is the tempers never really got too out of hand, you know, a few times maybe, but not in where, you know, you might think. So in that regard, it was good. But, no, it was just, that was a great deal. To this moment, right now, I can't believe it's over.
Yeah.
I really can't. You know, I got a cardio room. I do some cardio and a little exercise room back at my house. And I'm not enough. But when I do go back there and I train, when I don't, you know, have time to hit the gym or whatever, my wife's got all these things on the wall from Japan, NWO, everything. And I look around and I'm, you know, all these pictures of the guys, you know, all the group pictures and the stuff going on in the ring. And I go, man, I mean, it was so over. It was so amazing how popular it was, and it's over. It's done. Mm. And I just can't, I shake my head. I go, how did that happen?
Yeah, a lot of people still do shake their head and say that.
I don't believe it because, I mean, when, you know, Hogan, he took it to a level where the people were just irate. It was just electrifying to be in there. Then we had the Giant come in, and we had Goldberg come in. It was just perfect. These guys were huge stars, and they were just top-of-the-line talent. I mean, Scotty Steiner did interviews like, I mean, you know, he grabbed that rope with his left arm and lay back and start talking, holler if you hear me and all that other stuff. I mean, their people were just
eating it up.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, there could be a 15,000-seater jammed, and you could have the Houston Astrodome completely packed 10 times over, and it wasn't the same atmosphere. It was just crazy. It was good. Those were the days, I'm telling you right now. It was just great.
Do you think that part of the downfall might have been that NWO was too dominant? Really, they really didn't have a lot of competition,
yeah, you know,
I would say.
When I said, you know, Goldberg and the Giant coming in, you know, they had some guys. I hate going back on this, but there was too many people who controlled their own destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult when stuff like that happens. I mean, it just...
Were you close to Bish at the time?
Yeah.
You guys were good friends?
Very good friends. Eric was... I met Eric in AWA days. Eric basically was just, you know, starting out just like we all did it, you know, at the bottom of the, you know, the ladder, working his way up in the business.
Mm-hmm.
And he was always just so good to me in AWA days. I remember my car, the wind started in the wintertime in Minnesota, which is, you know, odd for there. It was about 75 below. And, you know, Eric says, hey, I'll give you a ride home. And that's the first time we ever really got talking. And he's just always been just a great guy. So, yeah, me and Eric were always good friends, but he wasn't afraid to voice his opinion either.
Right. James Orangecorn says, what did you think about some of the other NWO knockoff stables like LWO and BWO?
Well, no, I mean, it didn't really matter. You know, I mean, my opinion just, you know, was like the thing that Eddie Guerrero was doing was pretty cool. It really was, you know, because he was over really good, you know. For crying out loud, he's going to kill me for not remembering his name.
Hmm.
The ball-headed Mexican guy.
Conan.
Yeah, Conan, sorry. But anyways, you know, those guys, they did a pretty good job. They did a great job, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when it's a watered-down deal, it doesn't really, you know, it's the NWO than those guys.
Right.
So I just don't think that they gave themselves, they put themselves in the best position to succeed because they're just a knockoff deal to NWO. And I mean.
Right.
So, you know,
if they would have called themselves something else, they would have probably had more success.
Absolutely. It's like, you know, like Jeff Farmer was NWO Sting.
Right.
And in Japan, he was over huge. In the States, he just did, you know, like he was a second guy, or he would do, you know, he would be part of more interviews and skits and whatnot. And he really did get to capitalize on that part of his career after he left the NWO and left WCW, like he should have been able to.
Kind of got pigeonholed.
Well, he got pigeonholed, exactly, because, I mean, you know, of course, Sting didn't want him watering down his character and continue on doing independent work or going to another company or whatever. And, it didn't help none. So, and that happens. Stuff, out of all them guys doing knockoffs of other guys, I thought that Gilbert was the best.
That's such a great imitation.
I thought that was the greatest thing that ever happened in wrestling. I know Gilbert didn't like it, but, it was entertaining. And at the time, he didn't care for it. Now I hope he can laugh about it.
Yeah. Hopefully, because Gilbert still laughs about it.
when he came out with the sparkler's coffin, I just about died.
And Gilbert is like that goofy kind of guy, though. I mean,
oh, yeah.
He's, I guess he did a lot of impressions backstage of all kinds of people, but they always loved Gilbert the best. And
oh, absolutely.
That's the one they wanted to use on TV, but he did Hogan, Stone Cold.
Did Hogan, Stone Cold, Mach.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff. But, yeah, he's a funny guy.
I remember one time we're in the locker room on a Monday night show, and we wanted to watch it just for that fact.
Yeah.
So we're watching, and all of a sudden Goldberg came walking in, and he saw that, and we're just, it was hilarious. Because, we're on the other end of that deal.
Mm-hmm.
We get to see that monster come out the smoke, and, he's blowing and steaming, and it wasn't no easy night off with that guy.
Right.
And old Bill saw that Gilbert do his deal, and he got hot. He turned the TV off and walked out. His traps were about a foot over his head. I go out, and everybody says, glad I ain't working him tonight.
Yeah, I wonder who was.
Yeah, I used to kind of PO him, but I always thought, when they bring your name up and the competition does, it's always a good thing anyway. So.
Yeah, it's pretty much a compliment.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, but it was done so well. I mean, you can't, if I was in that position, I would have that tape and I would show it at parties. I would think that would have been the greatest thing. I mean, it'd be like that Ray Mercer, the comedian,
yeah,
calling you up. And, you didn't know it was him and somebody, the fertilizer guy burnt your yard up. He put too much fertilizer down. And you're talking to him. It would be great.
Right.
So I would take advantage of that. It would be something to laugh about big time right now, for sure.
Stevie Ray 76 says, do you still have your NWO vest?
Absolutely. I have so many.
eBay's calling.
eBay's calling, yeah.
Yes.
I did sell some stuff in Japan, and I had... The reason I did sell some is because I had an electrician come and do some work in my attic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Guy's a huge fan, and I had all this stuff boxed up. My wife took good care of it for me because she wanted to keep it. And we go up there to look at what this guy had done, and the boxes were open. Some of the stuff was missing. And I go, you got to be kidding me. And this guy actually, I gave him my telephone number. And he called me because he wanted help working out, and I told him I would give him a hand. I'd go to the gym with him.
Yeah.
And he showed.
Yeah.
I said, hey, man. I says, the workout's cool and everything, but, you got to get that stuff back to me. I mean, that's kind of important.
Right.
And he says, what stuff? And he honestly kind of risked his
life.
Good whooping there.
Yeah.
Just for a couple T-shirts and a vest. I mean, stuff like that. I don't know what he did take. He brought some of it back. But, so I wouldn't do it. But some guys will do what they got to do. But, yeah, I got a lot of the NWO stuff still. Hats, vests, T-shirts. We had tons of stuff. So
excellent.
That's one thing that was great. I would get supplied in Japan. I would get supplied in the States. So I had a double... Not like you ever had to look for the stuff, because they'd just give you as much as you wanted, so it was great.
Cool. What do you got coming up next? When are you going to be in Japan next?
I leave the 27th. I'm doing a show the 30th, and me and the wife are going to spend New Year's Eve with all the guys, my buddies in Tokyo, so we're really excited about this trip coming up, because I've never spent New Year's Eve in Japan, and since I have been with New Japan, there's a lot of guys that I really... have, great relationship, friendships with, and I do want to see them. So we're excited. We're gonna do some beer drinking, some bowling, karaoke, and cream barbecuing.
Sounds excellent.
And I'll tell you what, you know, it sounds like pretty much like a dork, you know, like a nerdy kind of a deal, but we have more fun doing those things than, I mean, you just can't have a better time. You know, I know some guys like to hit strip clubs and all that stuff, and, you know, I used to too probably, but, you know, we have a good time over there. It's a lot of fun.
All right. Excellent. Scott, we're up against the wall, and we got to get going, but I appreciate you coming back on the show, and the time just kind of flew by. It was more of a conversation than an interview, but I do appreciate it, and everybody really loved it.
I tell you what, it's my favorite show to do. You guys, I mean, I wish Les was there because I'd like to wish him Merry Christmas.
Yes.
Like I'd like to wish you also and everybody out there Merry Christmas. But you guys are just a joy to be talking to, be a part of, be friendships, everything. It's just, you're a real credit to it. And I tell you what, you do a wonderful job. And it is. It's fun. You know, I mean, we just sat there. I don't know how long we've been on the phone.
Over half an hour.
it was great. You know, and I'm going to sit back. I can't wait to listen to this one because, you know, those are things that you know, probably weren't going to come up, but they did. So it was great.
Yes.
I enjoyed this.
I want to wish you, too, happy holidays and happy new year out there in Japan. You probably get it a little bit earlier than us.
Hey, we're going to have a good one. I'll tell you what.
And hopefully we'll have you back on again soon when you have your next show.
You make the call, and I promise you. Got it.
Excellent. Excellent.
Great.
Scott Norton here on Wrestling Weekly, guys. That's going to wrap it up. We're up against the wall on time. We'll be back with you in 2 weeks on January 2nd. Everybody have a Merry Christmas. Thank you for a great 2006 as far as Wrestling Weekly goes. And we will see you once again in 2007. Don't forget to buy the No Second Chances DVD. It's on sale at WrestlingWeekly.com for $8.99. Also, you can take a look at all the people that's on the card, some former WWE members on the card, some future WWE members on the card, as one of them, of course, is now training in Deep South, and also Wrestling Society X is represented on that card. So check it out. It's No Second Chances at WrestlingWeekly.com. We'll see you again in 2 weeks. Have a good one, everybody.